Again, this is our last study in our series on Christian marriage as we do some reasoning about remarriage. And you know, as I think of this issue of remarriage, following the same format as our last study on divorce, I'd like to lay some groundwork and set the stage for our study by making some beginning comments about remarriage. For remarriage, like divorce, is a growing phenomenon in our society. And sad to say, the divorce rate among second marriages is actually higher than among first marriages. What does that tell you? But it does raise many questions as far as what does the Bible teach about remarriage? Does the Bible permit remarriage under certain conditions? And if so, when? And what if the divorce was wrong? And when is it right to remarry? Which reminds us that remarriage, like divorce, is a very controversial issue, even in the church. And like divorce, it is an emotional issue. It's an explosive issue. It hits us where we live. And therefore, we need the wisdom of God in this manner. There are four major positions on remarriage. There are some who think no remarriage is allowable. That is very rare. There are those who think remarriage for widows is certainly allowed, but only under that condition. There are those who think remarriage for widows and some divorced people are allowed, and there are those who take remarriage for widows and all divorced people are allowed. And this controversy is not new. In fact, did you realize that even C.I. Scofield of the Scofield Study Bible was a divorced man? Back in the 1800s, he was unregenerate when he was married. He had a serious drinking problem. He was an attorney. In fact, he became the state attorney of the state of Kansas at one point before he was saved. And he eventually was led to Christ by another lawyer. And then eventually, from the best we can piece together, his unsaved wife left him. There was a divorce. And he kept growing in the Lord. And eventually met another Christian woman and wanted to marry her, but he wasn't sure if he had biblical permission. So from what I've been told, he sent letters to like seven prominent Bible teachers in the land, and he got seven different answers back. This is not a new issue. So what did he do? He married her. That's what he did. And ended up having a good marriage from what I understand. Remarriage, like divorce, is very controversial in the church. And secondly, remarriage oftentimes involves a number of complicated difficulties. Complicated difficulties. What are some of the complicated issues? Sometimes the mess of complicated issues need to be entangled, like what if a person was divorced twice for wrong reasons before they were saved? Now they've trusted Christ, should they seek to go back to their former mate? And if so, which one? And what if a person was wrongfully divorced by their former spouse who ran off with another man and remarried them? Does the innocent, quote, person have a right to remarry? Or what about the guilty person? Or should a person who has been wrongfully divorced and remarried divorce their present mate and go back to their former mate so as to avoid further adultery? It can become complicated and it can become confusing. And I'll be the last person to tell you that I've arrived at all the answers to these sometimes complicated matters. In fact, you almost have to deal with them on a case-by-case basis. Sin is certainly complicated life. But that doesn't mean there aren't some clear-cut biblical principles that we will examine today. Thirdly, remarriage, like divorce, was not instituted by God, but is now to be regulated by God's Word. To be regulated by God's Word. And let me invite you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 24 again, which we looked at last Sunday. Because this passage does bear importance in what the New Testament says about divorce and remarriage as well. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Verse 1. When a man takes a wife and marries her, heterosexual, commitment for life, some kind of binding way, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes. Why? Because he has found some uncleanness in her. And we noted last week that uncleanness, according to Matthew 19, is sexual immorality. And he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and become another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, that means twice she's been divorced, or if the latter husband dies who took her as his wife, check out her chili, then her former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. Now let me make some observations here. First of all, note that divorce and remarriage was not instituted by God, but here it's being regulated by God. And since this passage, from time on, it's been regulated by God. Furthermore, notice that divorce was permissible and recognized here under a certain condition, uncleanness in her, which Matthew 19 will underscore is sexual immorality. Thirdly, notice that remarriage was permissible for both people under certain conditions, as well as remarriage was not allowable under certain conditions. And all of those things are very clearly communicated and expressed in this passage. Not instituted but regulated by God, permissible and recognized under certain conditions. Remarriage was permissible for both under certain conditions, and remarriage was not allowable under certain conditions. Now, having stated that, we are prepared to review for a moment some things about divorce. Our previous conclusions about divorce, which we looked at last week. And we saw that the Bible emphasizes the permanency of marriage, not the permission of divorce. The permanency of marriage, not the permission of divorce. As we go to Matthew chapter 19, which intersects with Deuteronomy chapter 24. We're reminded again of the original design as well as how God recognizes in a fallen world that sin complicates matters and how we should proceed. Verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In other words, God is for marriage, one man for one woman for a lifetime. What God has joined together, let no one separate or divorce. In other words, God is for the permanency of marriage. God ideally and originally designed one man for one woman for a lifetime, and that wasn't only God's original plan, that is His continued plan, according to Jesus Christ. But listen to the clarification, verse 7. Then they said to Him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? Now notice, they did not do good Bible study, or they twisted the Bible in order to justify their own thinking, and that is one of the problems. In fact, there are some people who don't even want to hear what the Bible says about this because they want it their way. They want to do what they want, and they want God to bless their plans. For they notice, he says, why then did Moses command? Moses never commanded to give a certificate of divorce and put her away, verse 8. He, the Lord Jesus, said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for, here's the uncleanness he finds in her, sexual immorality, and then marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced, commits adultery. In other words, to get divorced without biblical permission results in adultery. And so, the Scriptures teach that divorce always stems from sin, but does not teach that every divorced person is guilty of sin or causing the divorce. Divorce was a divine concession to human weakness. Now, don't misunderstand this. Not all, again, divorces are sinful. But divorce always stems from sin on someone's part. And furthermore, this means that not every divorced person is guilty of causing the divorce. Some have fought it. Some have been faithful in it. Some have looked to the Lord and sought to do the will of God. And yet, they still ended up being divorced. Thus, the Bible permits divorce on two grounds, which we noticed last week. Ground number one, as we see here in Matthew 19, is sexual immorality. Sexual immorality. Along with desertion by the unbelieving spouse. I guess it's right there. Of the unbelieving mate. Desertion. In fact, as we think of that, go with me to 1 Corinthians 7. Again, this is review from last week, in case you weren't here. But it's needed, because it plays into this whole issue of remarriage. First Corinthians 7, we begin in verse 12. But to the rest I, not the Lord, in other words, Paul's commenting on this, the Lord didn't, yet nevertheless it is authoritative. If any brother, that's a believer, has a wife who does not believe, an unbeliever, and she, the unbeliever, is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, now it's the reverse, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. They have this sanctifying, holy influence in their lives, in their home, by virtue of you, the believer, being in that marriage. And so we see here, verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, says, I want out of this marriage, I can't handle you, you know, and Jesus Christ and all of this, then let him depart, let him leave. Or a sister, a brother or a sister is not under bondage, bound in the marriage, in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? You don't know that. And so here's the case where the unbeliever deserts. I mean, we're not talking about a one night, I'm having trouble and it comes back. We're talking about a very deliberate, decided desertion of the marriage by virtue of the Christian convictions of the wife. That God, in that case, permits divorce. And what does remarriage without permission lead to? What did we see in Matthew 19? What would you read in Matthew 5:32? That if you divorce without permission, it leads to the act of adultery if you remarry. Not the state of adultery, and I want to clarify that, because how could you ever get out of that state then? But the act of adultery, which is clearly sin. If you remarry without biblical permission. But that leads us to principle number 3. God's grace provides forgiveness. For the sin of wrongful divorce because of the cross of Christ. In fact, we're told in 1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you, but now you have been washed, you have been sanctified, you have been justified in the name of Christ and by the Spirit of God. You see, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. All sin is forgivable. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for that sin. Divorced or remarried believers are not second-class Christians, nor should they be treated differently because they had a wrongful divorce while others have other kinds of sins. But that does not mean you will not reap what you sow. That doesn't mean there are not consequences. And by the way, that doesn't mean you should help pay for the wrongful divorce. I would not enable in any way someone to get a divorce in which there wasn't biblical permission. Otherwise, you are a partaker of that which is wrong. And how should the forgiven person now respond? What I did was wrong. I admit it. I've been forgiven. And now I want to do what's right. I want to do the will of God. I don't want to abuse the grace of God. For shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God. Now, having looked at some biblical conclusions about divorce, we're prepared now to look at some biblical convictions about remarriage. And there's a general principle that you just do well to remember. It has helped me time and time again as I've studied this out and wrestled with these passages and in some cases tried to give wise and good and sound and biblical counsel to those going through these kind of situations. And the general principle is this. Remarriage, like divorce, is permissible only under limited and specific conditions or circumstances. Otherwise, it is not allowed. In fact, here's a very easy principle to remember. Permissible divorce allows for permissible remarriage. Just keep that in mind. Permissible divorce allows for permissible remarriage. Non-permissible divorce leads to adultery. And so remarriage, like divorce, is permissible only under limited and specific conditions or circumstances. Otherwise, it is not allowed. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or 7 while we're here, verse 10. Now to the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. Now this doesn't take into consideration. This is just stating the general maxim, not the specific condition of sexual morality. It's not injected here. Verse 11, but even if she does depart, if she says, I want a divorce, I don't care, I'm doing this, then let her remain unmarried. In other words, remarriage is not permissible. Or be reconciled to her husband. Go back to husband one. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. Very clear. And so we see here that without biblical permission for the divorce, you do not have permission to remarry. That's what God says. Now again, I didn't write it. If you're here and you're cringing, your toes are curling, your neck standing up, again, I did not write this. But this is what the Word of God says. Now, in doing so, let's look at some specific applications. So when is remarriage permissible? And when does God allow remarriage to occur? Listen very closely. First of all, remarriage is permissible after the death of your spouse. Remarriage is permissible after the death of your spouse. Here at the end of 1 Corinthians 7, if you look with me, this actually, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 8. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, those who lost a mate, it is good for them if they remain even as I, namely single. But if they cannot exercise self-control, sexually is the context, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Let them marry. It's permissible. You're allowed to do this. But there is a qualification as you go to verse 39. If wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married, this is remarriage, to whom she wishes. She has a choice in the matter. But here's the qualification: only in the Lord. Only to another believer in the will of God. In fact, if you put a marker here, we'll be back in a moment and go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Not only is remarriage after the death of a spouse encouraged under certain conditions and qualified by only in the Lord, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5 was actually even commanded. Verse 14. Therefore I desire that, or at least it's desired, maybe not command, but desired, that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan because they didn't carry this out. But notice, a desire that the younger widows do what? That they marry, which obviously means they have permission to do this. Again, what do we learn from this? That remarriage is not only allowed, but in some cases is encouraged, is desired, and that remarriage is looked upon very favorably in the New Testament under certain conditions. Secondly, we note that remarriage is permissible after a divorce of your spouse if it was a permissible or legitimate divorce. In 1 Corinthians 7, as we go back, 12 through 15 again, verse 15, if the unbeliever departs, let him, if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, and God has called us to peace. Now remember, what did we learn from Deuteronomy 24? Permissible divorce allows for permissible remarriage. Here's a permissible divorce. The unbeliever wants out, which allows for what? A permissible remarriage. A second condition in which this would be true is that it was before you were saved. Before you were saved. You see, in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul was not only dealing with people who may have been saved before they got married and know how to address things, or people who had experienced the death of a spouse, but there were situations where they were married before they got saved, and now what are they to do? And we read in verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. In other words, just stay put where you're at when you got saved. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. Don't get anxious about it. Remember, slavery was very commonplace in the first century. He didn't say, now that you're saved, disobey your master, run away. He didn't do that. Again, it's not that the Bible is promoting slavery. It's not. But it's giving direction to people under various societal conditions in which they lived under. Do not be concerned about it, verse 21. But if you can be made free, rather use it. In other words, if you have the opportunity as a slave in the first century and you got saved and you could be free, then go for it and use it to serve the Lord. Verse 22. For he was called in the Lord while a slave is really the Lord's free man, spiritually speaking. Likewise, he was called while free. You are free. You're not a slave. You're really Christ's slave. Why? Because you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. In other words, in whatever state you were called, then stay put if possible. Verse 25. Now concerning virgins, those who are never married, and a virgin is to be equal with a single person because single folks are to be sexually abstinent. I have no commandment, verse 25, from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord, in his mercy, has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress, which was probably persecution, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? In other words, you're married. Notice the word bound again. Do not seek to be loosed. In other words, don't seek a divorce. Are you loosed from a wife? You've been divorced. Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, now who's that person who's married? To someone who's loose from a wife, who's divorced. You have not sinned. And if a virgin, someone who's never been married, marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. You see, verse 28 seems to be indicating that someone who finds themselves, when they got saved, in a divorced state and has a desire to marry, has the freedom to do that, regardless whether the divorce was legitimate before they were saved or not. Because you see, when you get saved, you become a new creation in Christ. And God picks you up where you're at and wants to lead you now in His will. But you're to, again, marry someone only in the Lord. Otherwise, you just jump from the pot into the fire. And remember, even when it comes to illegitimate or unpermissible divorce before you were saved, that when you got saved, God forgave your sins and separated your sins as far as the east is from the west. You know, what other pre-salvation sins is He holding against you? Obviously, 2 Corinthians 5:19 reminds us that He's not imputing our sins against us. We become new creations in Him. A third situation in which remarriage is permissible after a divorce of your spouse, if reconciliation is impossible due to your former mate having remarried. And this is one that I really didn't understand for a while. It was actually Pastor Jay Chappell who convinced me of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, again, if you go back to verse 10, "Not to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a wife is not to divorce his wife." But what if you can't be reconciled to your husband because they went ahead and remarried? Are you then stuck, as it were, in this place of not being permissible to remarry? Maybe he got a divorce for the wrong reasons and then turned around and married someone committed adultery, and yet you're stuck and you've been faithful and you've been walking with the Lord and you sought to do what's right, but now you don't even have the permission to remarry. It doesn't seem biblical or right or fair. In fact, if reconciliation is impossible due to your former mate having remarried, it seems as though Scripture gives you permission to do just that. So let me summarize here for a minute. Three things. Number one, remarriage like divorce, and this isn't written out, by the way, remarriage like divorce is permissible under certain circumstances or conditions. We've seen that. Death, a permissible divorce, before you were saved, or with your former mate having remarried. Number two, remarriage is permissible for widows who desire to marry another believer. And number three, remarriage is permissible for all persons who were divorced with biblical permission, or divorced prior to salvation, or unable to reconcile due to the remarriage of their former mate. But before you just run off and remarry, if you have permission, if you're divorced and you desire to remarry, let me lay out for you some considerations you need to think about and pray through before you say, "I do." First of all, you need to be sure you do have biblical permission to remarry. And I say that because, you know, I've heard of cases where believers really didn't have biblical permission, but somehow they imagined, fabricated it, and so forth, and just went ahead and did it. And you know, God knows the truth. Did your former spouse commit immorality while you were married? Did you? Was your former spouse an unbeliever who willingly left you? Did you become a Christian after you were divorced? Have you tried to reconcile with your former partner, if so? What did you do? Are you willing to remain single and use your singleness to serve the Lord? Is the person you want to remarry a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting to do the will of God? Has the person you want to marry ever been divorced? If so, what was the reason behind it? So that do they have biblical permission? And are you prepared for all the factors of a remarriage? You know, like the former partner, the stepchildren, the legal hassles, the financial and sexual adjustments. And by the way, if what you did factored into the prior divorce, have you really taken stock and evaluated? Because remember, you're going to bring you with you into that next marriage. Have you grown through it? Have you learned from it? You're just going to turn around and repeat it. As I said earlier, divorce rate among second marriages, from what I've read in the past, is even higher. You know why? They never really learned from the first. Or they blamed everything on the other person. They really didn't learn. They needed to learn. Or draw close to the Lord through the whole situation. Let me give you some closing encouragements as far as how does all of this apply to you. Again, I don't have these written out. You can just jot them if you want to. First of all, you need to begin marriage with the mindset that divorce is not an option when problems arise. You need to begin marriage with the mindset that divorce is not an option when problems arise. It's not, well, you know, like one person said, you know, if you marry him, well, don't worry about it. You can always get a divorce, you know. In fact, I know of a person who called a believer from our church. She said to her, well, you know, I've been divorced 3 times or 4 times, you know. That's always an option. Don't worry about it. You know. Thank you. That's just what I need. Go dunk your head in the water or something, you know. You need to begin marriage with the mindset divorce is not an option when problems arise. Number two. You need to resolve by God's grace to seek to do nothing less than God's will in your marriage. God's perfect will in your marriage, first of all. You need to resolve by God's grace to seek to do nothing less than God's perfect will in your marriage. One man for one woman for a lifetime. Number three. You need to recognize that God permits divorce and even remarriage under certain and limited circumstances governed by the Word of God, not your emotions. You need to recognize that God permits divorce and even remarriage under certain and limited circumstances governed by the Word of God, not your emotions. And this is where principled thinking, prayer, good counsel. By the way, if you want to get counsel to divorce your mate, there's always someone who's going to give it to you. You know, dump the jerk, you know, or whatever. I mean, you've got to go beyond that. What does the Word of God say? And the fact is, you might not be a jerk at all. It might be that you're just not walking with the Lord yourself. You're not thinking biblically or principally yourself. You're bitter or unforgiving or something else. Number four, you need to remember that God wants to treat you in grace and work with you on His terms wherever you presently find yourself in this matter. That God wants to treat you in grace and work with you on His terms wherever you presently find yourself in this matter. If you're single and you've never been married, God wants to lead you. He wants you to become content with Him. He wants you to pray for wisdom on how to proceed. If you're married and you've never been divorced, God wants you to make the most of that marriage. and to serve Him there. If you're a widow, God wants you to be content to remain single or waiting on Him to be remarried only in the Lord. If you've been divorced with biblical permission, God wants you to know you're free to remarry. But do so wisely, if at all. For Paul says, if you can remain single, stay single. If you were divorced before salvation, you're also free to remarry. Or the marriage you're presently in, God says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands, and now together serve Jesus Christ. If you've been divorced without biblical permission, you need to face the reality that you are not free to remarry. You are to remain unmarried or be reconciled to your former mate, unless reconciliation is not possible. And this is what God has said in His Word in regulating this whole issue of divorce and remarriage. And by the way, believers, get this down. Because you're going to be dealing with other believers that go through these kind of situations. And you do not want to give them wrong counsel. You do not want to encourage what is wrong. You want to discourage what is wrong. And you want to encourage what is right. But you have to know it yourself. And you may need to study these out and pray about them and come to your own convictions on them. But these are my convictions from my study of the Word of God over the years. And then it's a matter oftentimes of having much wisdom from the Lord through prayer and through conversation to know how these principles apply to any given situation. But as this is the last message in this whole series on Christian marriage, and we've had to talk about divorce and remarriage, I hope this series has been helpful for you. I hope it's encouraged you. I hope that you will go back and think about these things and be praying about the things you have learned and allowing the Lord to implement them in your life. For next Sunday, Lord willing, we plan to move from the marriage couple to now adding children to the whole issue as we look at the Christian family, which is under terrible attack in our day, in which many believers lack divine viewpoint and biblical principles when it comes to the training of their children. And I trust this will be very beneficial for you as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the marriages represented here at Duluth Bible Church. We pray that we would be principled, we would be filled with the Spirit, we would be allowing You to build our marriages Your way. I pray for husbands, I pray for myself, that we would love our wives as Christ loved the church, to do so through the filling of the Holy Spirit. And to grow in this and to learn, again, how best to love them, even when we want to agape love. Father, I pray for wives, they would respect their husbands. I pray that there would be a growing good communication between mates. And a willingness to look to You and to talk through problems and resolve conflicts in which things so often break down. I pray, Father, that our homes would be places of grace, places of godliness, places where love is openly communicated, openly expressed, openly shared. I pray that our marriages would be profoundly different than the marriage of unbelievers. I pray, Father, for all of this. I pray for those who have been divorced or been remarried or are thinking about this. I pray for the single folk of our church as well. And I ask, Father, that even these principles we have covered would be of great benefit to them. And that they would be willing to not function emotionally, but act principally regarding these matters. And we'll give You the glory for what You have done, we pray. In Jesus' name.